We know that health and safety are always top of mind for you. The same is true for the good people at UniMac. That's why they offer a tailored PPE gear cleaning solution that is easy to use. With certified training courses and their FireLink technology, following and tracking NFPA 1851 standards are a breeze. When it comes to a full solution for your crew, demand the total package. To learn more, visit unimac.com/firelink.
All right. Welcome to another Fire Engineering Podcast, Networking for Success. I am your host, Dave McGlynn. That sexy voice you just heard earlier, plug in UniMac, was Pete Prokiel, who's the online editor for Fire Engineering. So he did a great job. It was always nice to hear his Jersey accent. He's a Jersey boy. So for those that are joining tonight, thank you, as always. For those that have followed the show and listened to the show before, you guys know what the show's about. Try to bring great leaders and great minds throughout fire and emergency services. And also I've had great guests from the military be our guest and talk about things that they've done, some leadership tips from them, some mentoring tips from them, and then give a quick background of the things that they've gone through in their careers, just so that you can see that, you know, maybe you're not alone in your problems or you can get some advice from what they're saying. Tonight we are live. So if you're listening in and you want to call on the eastern side where I'm at, it's 7:31 p.m. And over where my guest is at, he's in California, it's 4:31 p.m. Or as we say in the fire service and the military, 1931 or 1631. So there is a phone line that you can call in if you have any questions for my guest or myself. That's 760-454-8852. 760-454-8852. So. Tonight, I am joined by a dear friend of mine, a guy that I instantly hit it off with the first time we met, and a guy that has just been very humble, and which is very important to me in this business. And as he and I will discuss through the show, some people, you know, they forget where they come from, right? So tonight, I'm joined by Steve Przybrowski. He is the Deputy Fire Chief for the Santa Clara County Fire Department in Northern California. He's an instructor for the Chabot College Fire Technology Program and has been in the fire service since 1991, which if you look at him, I guess those the California sun over there, a guy doesn't look like he's that old. I look worse than him, so I must be doing something wrong being in the Northeast. He received the 2020 Ronnie Jack Coleman Leadership Legacy Award from the Center for Public Safety Excellence, and also received the 2008 California Fire Instructor of the Year Award. He's also had 28 articles published in Fire Engineering and Fire Rescue Magazine. He's presented at FDIC International since 2009 and has 4 published fire service career development books. And we're going to speak tonight about his latest, which is the 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam. It was just published by Fire Engineering Books and Videos and is available now. You can check that out on fireengineering.com or Fire Engineering Books and Videos. He presently presents regularly at fire departments and fire service events across the county and in Canada. So he's an international instructor, so that's pretty cool. And he also wants you to check out his website for his business, which is www.code3firetraining.com. That's code3firetraining.com for more info about Steve and how you can get him to come out to your organization or your department or a conference that you're going to have and have him be able to give his message. And trust me when I tell you, he's the real deal and he's a great guy, so he's totally worth it. So with that said, Chief, thank you for joining me tonight.
Chief, brother, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's an honor. You're too kind, my friend.
I appreciate it. So I start all my shows with the same question, and I usually end them with the same question, typically because most people should know who you are. I know you're a big name in our business, and you've accomplished a lot for us. I mean, obviously for yourself and in your self-success, but for us as the students of the message that you've been able to give. But I still ask everybody this question because I want people to hear who you are, what got you into it, because sometimes people have the same story or anything like that. So tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what inspired you to get into the fire service.
Sure, I'll be happy to. I was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, growing up in Oakland and then migrating down to the San Jose area where I'm living at right now. Been married to an awesome woman, Bonnie, for the last 21 years, give or take. We don't have any kids, but two of us keep quite busy as ourselves, as keep busy doing what we do. Obviously, non-pandemic times, we enjoy traveling and everything else, and we're both very busy. She works in the fire service as well, too. I'm someone that really just enjoys sports, traveling, concerts, live music, hard rock, heavy metal music. You know, I'm just trying to ensure a balance. And I'll touch on that as we talk about mentoring and everything else, because I think balance is critical to our key. As much as I love the fire service, I also enjoy, like I said, going to concerts, listening to music, playing guitar, and doing all those other fun things, hanging out with people and traveling and so forth. What inspired me to go in the fire service? You know, it sounds geeky, but, you know, given my age, I'm a little too old to say backdraft or ladder 49, and there's nothing wrong with that. I was more of the earlier years of emergency squad 51, you know, Johnny and Roy there. You know, when that show came out, I was a little ute here growing up and, like, you know, loved watching that show and all the other shows at the time. And, you know, that really inspired me, watching Johnny and Roy. And, you know, it took me a little while to join the fire department. You know, before I, as soon as I graduated in high school, I was going to college, you know, and just doing that normal thing. And I was working at one of the local retail drugstores. But it took me a few years after that to realize, you know what, I need to make a serious pursuit of becoming a firefighter. You know, it wasn't until really my mid-20s when I'm like, you know what, I got to get serious about this. I got to get my EMT. And, of course, Johnny and Roy encouraged me to go to paramedic school and everything else, because out here in California at the time, as it still is, being a paramedic is pretty much one of the gold tickets for getting in to fire departments, because, again, departments out here are really struggling to get paramedics. So, obviously, I did all the normal things, like going to a fire academy and work on, like, fire science stuff. But, you know, and I was also fortunate to have some family friends that were involved in the fire service. No no relatives in the family in the fire service, but just family friends that I'd acquaint with here in the city of San Leandro. Not here, but when I used to live in the city of San Leandro as well. And I stopped by the firehouse and, you know, it was sort of like one of those little things that caught on. And like I said, I wish I would have started a little bit early when I got out of high school, but hey, no big deal. No regrets.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I like the emergency, really dating yourself with the you know, emergency TV show being the inspiration. That's all right though, because so, I mean, you know, I'm going to be 38 this year. I'm a young buck. But I've also, watched the emergency reruns. I apologize to make you feel bad and say reruns, but I used to watch them on Nick at Night and everything. But I was a big fan of Johnny and Roy. I thought that show was real cool. And the Squad 51, you know, the tones, it's just, you know, there's nothing cooler than that.
All right.
It's so known even in the next generation of millennials and the dot-comers, the people that are coming in after me, even they know, you know, about emergency and about Squad 51. And so, you know, it's cool that you got to actually experience it when it was fresh and new. 'Cause that had to be even cooler I always wonder how many people that show inspired to, you know, to get into the fire service. And I'm not going to talk ill about the shows that are out there now, but I fear about the shows that are out there now, only because I think Rescue Me really met a certain mark as far as firehouse life, not about him seeing ghosts and all that, but, you know, but Emergency did the same thing, especially when they were introducing, cause you know, that show they were pioneers, the writers of that show into how they integrated, you know, the paramedics and the EMTs more in the fire service back then in the 70s. And I'm sure some guys are upset about it, you know, the guys that are firemen that don't want to put Band-Aids on. But and another part of it, if you think about it, 40 years later, that has justified our existence in our profession because we took on that role that we weren't doing before. And a lot of that's attributed to the show Emergency. So that's just cool that that inspired you, you know.
Yeah, well, and I know there's some people that get bent out of shape when – we have to say it justifies our existence, but it's the hard truth, whether we agree with it or not. It is the truth. And I think the paramedicine part of it, not to mention the emergency medical service part of it, it's our bread and butter, if nothing else for ourselves, if we ever need to be treated, because that's a good thing that we have that capability at the firehouse, but also for the folks that allow us to serve the community. I think it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So tonight's episode, we're covering a few different things. We're going to try to keep it under that hour mark, only because I know you're in a different time zone. But, you know, whatever. I told you, you know, if we go over or under, it doesn't matter. But there's a few things that we're going to cover that I know you're the guy that I would love to talk on some of this. So we're going to – the first thing we're going to obviously talk about is your book. So – you know, you got a new book out, like I said before, 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam Through Fire Engineering Books and Videos. Great book. I've already been halfway through it, and I just got it. You just sent it to me, a week or two ago. A lot of great stories in there, a lot of good stuff from you. By the way, I have to say this, so my wife didn't realize she's reading the part that I contributed, and she didn't realize that my part ended. So then there's a part that you were talking about where guys were having sex in the fire station or something like that on the very next page. And Chrissy, my wife, she's like, she calls me up and she's like, who the hell was having sex in the firehouse? And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, you're writing about it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I never wrote about this. So she texts me a picture of it. I'm like, Steve wrote that. I'm like, I didn't write that. So I threw her under the bus. So if you ever get to meet her, you're probably going to ask you about it.
Hilarious. And here you are on the chopping block for something she thought you did. And it's and disclaimer, obviously, thank God, nothing that happened in our department, you know.
Thank God. It's right.
Happened outside, but it's just one of those funny things. That's hilarious.
but so we're going to talk about mentoring. We're going to talk about leadership. And then the biggest thing that I do, you know, the classes that I've been able to teach and the things that I mostly write about is the networking thing. So to me, I've plugged networking so much because it seems to me like it's so easy and it should just be common sense that you should just exchange ideas with people and talk to people. But unfortunately, in our fire service, we have these alpha males and alpha females and everybody is just too proud. Well, you know, they're just too proud to almost perceive it as a weakness to have to ask somebody for advice or take another person's advice. So I've always been big on the networking thing. I attribute a lot of my success to the minds and guidance from everybody that I've been able or been fortunate enough to talk to. So what we're dealing with now, this past now going on a year in our country, is the pandemic. And regardless of your political view, because unfortunately, and we, you know, I mean, I can't talk about the pandemic without addressing the elephant in the room. Our illustrious political leaders have made the pandemic a political thing. So you have to address that. So I'm not talking in the regards of how you politically feel about it. And I don't mean you, Steve. I mean, even the people listening,
right.
Just in general, how hard of an impact this has been in our country, which then in turn, the thing that I talk the most about and the thing that, you know, you and I know of each other, you're on the complete opposite side of the country, you know, is the networking in this pandemic. You know, what are some ways that we can still do that? So those are the things that we're going to cover tonight. So the audience knows, you know, we're going to cover a broad spectrum of things. But the first thing I want to talk about is the book. So tell me about the book. You know, tell me about why you wrote it, what inspired you to write it, what your target audience was, all that. Tell me about 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam.
Well, and thank you for asking. And like you had mentioned in my bio, I published two entry-level preparation books and then one previous promotional preparation book, How to Excel at Fire Department Promotional Exams. I did that all self-publishing, didn't even try to get a major publisher. But it was the inspiration was this was a concept that I've been thinking of for years just as an add-on, as an addition to my previous book. So I'd already pretty much almost come up with the final manuscript. And then somebody at Fire Engineering Books and Videos had graciously reached out to me about something of one of the related to one of the past articles that I had written. Chris Barton reached out about using something there, and then we just got into a little conversation. And you know, next thing I know, I happen to have a conversation of, hey, I've got this, you know, book idea. I don't know if you'd be interested in it. And he's like, yeah, you know, of course, share it with me. And I wasn't really expecting much of anything, you know, because I don't take anything for granted, and I also know, you know, there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and there's a lot of great books that are out there by many people. And I was just amazed when he's like, hey, I like the concept and let's go with it. And I'm like, wow. So the inspiration was really building upon all the other things I've been fortunate to share out there. I'm one of those individuals that I enjoy speaking in front of others, go figure. I like to talk a lot, but I enjoy speaking. I enjoy writing things. I know not everyone enjoys doing both of those things, and sometimes either or. But I like putting things down, at least to have things down for the future, to pay it forward and everything else. Now, I'm very honored when I can have articles published, but obviously books, I think, provide more of a lasting, hopefully, footprint to help share with others. But anyway, my 101 tips was really one of those things that, you know, I finished my first book on promotional preparation. I'm going, God, there's still a lot of other ideas that I have out there. And then when I was working with Fire Insurance Books and Videos, they had a great idea of, you know, hey, to help provide some value added, why don't you think about reaching out to some of your, you know, friends and mentors in the fire service? And it really took off like wildfire once I really sat down. And the concept ended up being that I'll come up with 101 tips. And I want to make sure I backstep here. This is not a guide to punch your ticket and, you know, the old saying, pay the fee, get the B. You've got to work at your promotional exam. I'm not teaching anybody how to cheat the system. I'm not teaching how to game the system. You still got to step up to the plate and hit the home run. So if anyone thinks it's an easy guide to get promoted, it's not. It's a guide to supplement best practices, I think, and that's why I want to share best practices with others. So I came up with about 101 different tips. There's probably 100 more that I could have thought of, but those are the 101 I narrowed them down to. And I wanted to have different perspectives. So I've got people like yourselves and others. I mean, I've got almost 40 different people that were fortunate enough to give me the gift of their time by offering up, whether it's Paul Combs, who offered up to let me use a lot of his illustrations, because I always loved reading Fire Engineering every month and, you know, seeing the Paul Combs, you know, drawing of the month in there, because I really liked how he illustrated certain things. And when I started looking at some of my concepts, I had never met Paul before, and I reached out to him and I told him I got a project with Fire Engineering, and he was more than gracious to allow them to use it, obviously, which was awesome because it helps tie in the points. Because I, of course, I'm a firefighter. I like pictures and books too, so that, you know, makes a difference. So I wanted to add a lot of his illustrations, which I did. One of our local fire photographers, Craig Allen Rose, has always been generous to allow me to use his pictures in my books and other things. So I wanted to use some of that, but more importantly, I wanted to reach out to people of all ranks, firefighters, engineers, company officers, battalion chiefs, assistant chiefs, and even fire chiefs, because my goal was to try to help anyone not prepare for the test, but prepare for the position, because I think there's a difference. Too many people just go, you know what, just tell me what I got to do to get the badge and I'm good. No, you're going to set yourself up for failure. More importantly, you're going to set those that you're fortunate to lead and serve, if you get the spot, up for failure. You need to prepare. One of the best pieces of advice I was ever given was when I was a student firefighter with the Oakland Fire Department. I mean, Oakland is a very busy city, fights a lot of fire, and I had a lot of good experience there in a year and a half assigned to engine and truck companies and getting to go into fires when I was getting my Firefighter One State certification. But one of my mentors was a captain at the time, Jim Edwards. He retired. I was a deputy chief, and we're still good friends. He gave me some great advice. Don't just prepare for the position, because he knew I was someone that would be promoting at some point. He goes, don't prepare for the position. Always prepare for one position above the one, because a lot of people just prepare for the test, but I like to take it two steps, not just prepare for the test, but prepare for the position, and then more importantly, prepare for the position above. And when I say prepare for the position, if you prepare for anything that position that you want will have, you do, then you know what? You should be prepared to handle anything within the test. And then if you prepare for that next up position, meaning if you're a firefighter getting ready for company officer, also prepare for battalion chief, because once you are a company officer, you may be acting up at some point. Plus, if nothing else, you know what your boss is going to expect of you. You may never be that next position up, but all those little things. But just to try to close this loop right here in this question, like I mentioned, I was very fortunate to have many people like yourself contribute pieces, Billy Goldfeather, Mike Gagliano, many very famous fire engineering authors, FDIC instructors, and other fire service leaders. I mean, Dennis Rubin, Tiger Schmittendorf, Jared Sergey, Ryan Pennington, you know, John Haywick Jr., Reggie Freeman, I'm looking at Dina Alley, Anthony Avalo, Larry Connolly, Mike Daly, Mark Davidson, John Dixon, Dave Dodson, Mike Dugan, Rich Gassaway, Phil Jose, you know, Anthony Castros. You know, I'm looking at all these names here, and I know I'm going to leave a few out. I don't mean any disrespect for doing that, but I wanted to pick people that were well-known within the fire service, and sometimes even people that may not have those famous names as well, too. But more importantly, when you look for my book, I wanted to talk about the different phases of a promotional process. For example, in many departments, you have to go through a emergency, like a fire ground simulation exercise to demonstrate that you can at least perform size up, assign a company, assign personnel. Well, what do you need to know about fire ground operations? Well, that's why I reached out to Dave Dodson. Well, Dave Dodson, tell a future captain of BC what they need to know about reading smoke, because he's the expert there. You know, same with Phil Jose, who's taken over some of the stuff. You know, Ryan Pennington out of West Virginia does a lot of stuff on hoarder fires. So, you know what? What does the company officer need to know about, and chief officer, about hoarding fires? You know, Anthony Castros wrote the Ford. You know, Anthony and I used to, first met him when I was interning as a paramedic intern back in the 90s with his his department that he retired from, SAC Metro. And he's written a lot of promotional preparation books as well, teaches classes. So, again, I wanted his words of wisdom. You know, I looked at different perspectives, like Dennis Rubin. As a fire chief, what do you expect from, say, a company officer, a chief officer? And like on the flip side, from firefighters, what do you expect from those that are going to be your bosses? So I know I'm rambling right here, but my whole perspective was to try to get a whole different flavor from all ranks in different parts of the country, to expose people to really what you're talking about and I'm talking about today, network and mentoring, because many of these people I was good friends with, some of them I was just casual acquaintances with, but the good part is every one of these individuals I reached out to, and they said, sure, Steve, I'm more than happy to contribute a couple pages. Tell me what you need. And I think this ties into what we're talking about tonight. Long story short, my apologies, but networking and mentoring is, you don't have to know all these people to make a connection with them. So that's in a nutshell, I think, what the book is about, is helping people prepare for the position. And it could be an engineer promotion, a company officer. It could be battalion chief, all the way up to fire chief. I think there's nuggets within this book that can help anybody, regardless of rank and from wherever part of the country you're in and whatever type of department.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was just going to say, I don't know if that was the angle you were going for, but it definitely worked that way. And for those that are, you know, going to read the book, I'll tell you, you know, there are many out there that are great leadership books. I'm not going to take away from any of them I get to hang out with once a year and network with and stay in touch with and all that. But I'm telling you, I'm not saying this because I'm on, you know, the show with you right now, or because, you know, you graciously and I'm telling you, I'll get into that more later. But it's very surreal for me, and I still feel very odd that you had me in it. I appreciate it. I honestly do. I always felt not worthy of being like a person that should pass on any kind of nuggets. But I will say, the cadre of people that you picked, like you had just said, you know, from firefighter all the way on up to the fire chief, and, you know, small town fire chief or whatever, to, you know, big city like Dennis. You know, Dennis was at DC, you know, Rube was at DC for a while. So, and then Ryan, you know, with the hoarder thing, I mean, Ryan just, he struck gold with that hoarder thing. You know, it was something we all knew about, but we weren't talking about enough. And I've had the luxury of being down to Charleston many times, 'cause him and his people have invited me down, for a number of years to teach down there, which was great. And, and Ryan is another one that, you know, and that's the other thing is, Ryan is a company officer. He's a truck company guy, and he's an amazing paramedic, you know, so he has a lot more expertise outside of just the hoarder thing, you know. So the point is you read this book and you read the things you're saying, and then you got voices of experience, and it really complements what you're talking about, either prior or post the message from the voices of experience. And like I said, it's nice. It's refreshing for me because it's nothing against, again, I have to say this so nobody gets pissed off at me and I get some text messages later, you know, all the great leaders that have all these great books, I'm not taking away from you. Most of them know who they are. They inspired me to get into this. I'm just saying for your venture or aspirations into the fire service and then climbing through those ranks of, you know, chauffeur, engineer, driver, whatever you call it, you know, into lieutenant, captain, company officer level, into, a chief officer, a training officer, a fire chief, whether you're in small town USA, the federal government like I am, or the big city, this book has all of those things complementing it. you know, and coupled with all of your years of experience in what you've done, where you've been, the positions you've held, as well as the people that you've interacted with, that it really, I just feel like it right now out there, it is one of the best preparational guides for not just promotion exams, but for getting into a leadership role. There's a lot of preparation behind that book, you know, a lot of information from people that, like you said, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, about the networking and mentoring thing. You don't need to know everybody to network with them. You know, you don't have to physically meet these people, or you could have met them once, but I'm telling you, even that book, you don't ever have to be able to see in these people, and you're getting gold in on these pages between you and the cadre of people you had in there that, you know, it is. It's just in our business, the reason why leadership is so sexy and the reason why there's so many classes at FDIC for it is because we don't prepare leaders, and that's why most of them suck at it. Everybody just wants a rank, you know. So it's nice to have somebody that is trying to prepare people for what they're getting themselves into, you know. So I do. I you didn't ramble at all. I'm glad that it couldn't have even been scripted. I wanted you to touch on exactly what you did because the people that are listening need to understand that there is huge value in this book. It's not just because – you know, you wrote it and you're a household name in the fire service. This is very much a preparational book for what you're going to be getting into. You got minds from all over, plus all of your experience in this one book. It's very nice. You know, I think that you did a good job there. I think Fire Engineering was right to have, you know, to back you to publish it. It's a great book.
It exceeded my expectations. And once I started rolling down the track of, you know what, hey, I'm going to reach out to this person, reach out to that person. And, you know, it really was inspirational because it helped, I think, provide, I mean, there is no perfect book for anything in life. And I think as I'm, and I'll probably talk about this as we go on, but, you know, one of the best lessons I learned besides preparing for the position was, you know, getting involved with networking and mentoring and other things like that, because again, I'm in charge of my own destiny, just like you are of yours, and you know, John Doe is of his, and everything else. And it's so critical for us that I don't care, even if you just want to be a firefighter, be the best darn firefighter you can be. And I mean, again, even with this book, I think even if you had no desire to promote, there's still a heck of a lot of beneficial things that you can still benefit from just to be the best firefighter you can be. Again, not everyone's meant to promote. Not everyone should promote. Not everyone has to promote. We need great people at all ranks, and I think that's the key is, you know, then I've heard that from someone over the years that, you know, being at like FDIC, I've heard that multiple times of how someone sat in a class and never even met the instructor. Then they just wildly reached out just via email or whatever else, because the instructor, you, like myself and you, share our contact information. The next thing you know, the person's responding back. I mean, that's the nice part about the fire service is that we're a close group of people. It's a small world, but most people are pretty generous if you reach out and you catch them at the right time and you, you know, are polite and respectful. And that's what I found in this. And I was, like I said, very humble and fortunate to have all my friends, mentors, be able to help up, step up, and assist.
Yeah, and you know, and that's another thing. We're gonna kind of skip one part here. If you want, we can circle back into it. Circle back. That seems to be the latest thing on social media. Hashtag circle back. But I will literally circle back if you want. No, but I want to skip the one part and go into that next question with the why is the mentoring, just because we're really touching on it. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the conversation we're having now, and it complements off the book. That's why, you know, the questions that we have in store for us tonight are kind of strategically chosen for that and not just regular script stuff. So, you know, in your experience, right, and, you know, and then obviously your latest project with the people that you worked with to help you with putting that book together, everything like that, and then we'll get into the pandemic part of it. But just as part of the conversation we're having now, why is mentoring and networking so important when trying to get promoted?
Well, because, I mean, if you're some departments still just promote people based on maybe a written test score and maybe experience or seniority on the job. Well, mentoring and networking may not help you if it just is seniority-based, because that's a number that, you know, you have no control over, or you do, I guess. But for more and more departments that have multiple phases of a process, whether it's a written test, an oral interview, or maybe a full-blown assessment center, I think mentoring and networking is critical because, you know, the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. You know, it's like teaching at the local junior college, you know, a month ago as we start the first night of class on Zoom, and I always get the question of like, hey, Chief, how do I become a firefighter? And it's like, well, you're doing the first step. You're taking a class, a class does not make you a firefighter. I mean, it can help prepare you. It doesn't guarantee you a job, just like a degree doesn't guarantee anything. But it's that exposure. You're building, you're planting your roots, I guess. You're planting seeds because you never know where one person may lead you or what rabbit hole you may go down to. Like every week for my students at the college and our sessions, I try to expose them to a lot of different things. I encourage them to visit different fire department websites to start, you know, seeing how departments differ. I share names with them in the fire service. Like, hey, go do some research on Alan Brunicini. You know, next week, go do some research on whatever, Billy Goldfeder. I try to give them names, if nothing else, just to expose them to people, because my hope is that it opens up sort of Pandora's box, because that's how we all get better. Life is not about being in a vacuum. I mean, whether it's your personal life or your professional life, success usually comes from a team effort. I mean, obviously, if you've got a family, they're usually part of your success. Hopefully you allow them to be a part of that. Obviously your friends, your coworkers and everything else. But we need to build each other up as a team. And I think that's why it's beneficial to mentor and network with others, because I think it makes us better, but it can also make others better, because if each one of us just came to work every day or even lived our lives every day of just, what can I do to make things better? Whether it's helping somebody out on the job, off the job, neighbor, coworker, boss, someone below you in rank, you know, amazing how good this world would be if we just did that. I think we do a good job of that, but that's how we learn and grow.
No, I'm with you. It's most of us, I guess, have our our little niche or whatever. Because like all of us, the thing is in the fire services, is we're all, you know, jacks of all trades, you know. So a lot of us have experience in a lot of different things. But you know, so I talk about networking constantly, you know, networking and name my business, you know, passion and leading, because I was always told I was too passionate. So I felt, you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with loving what you're doing because you use it as fuel to do it. You know, but when it comes to the things that I do, you know, that I talk a lot about networking with others. And the reason why I talk about that so much is because I feel as modest or as humble as I can say, you know, a lot of my success, yeah, you know, it's off of certain avenues and goals that I set for myself and off of my labor and dedication. Sure, you know, that is true and I'm aware of that, but I suffer from my own sense of self inadequacies and my own sense of, you know, I guess belief in myself that my success has been based off of my ability to be able to network with others. You know, I used to laugh, you know, like in the local areas, even the area that I live now, you know, like, you know, when I drove down to NFA and had lunch with you that day and you posted the thing and people were, oh, it's just so cool, you know, the people that you know, it's just so cool that you get to eat lunch with these people. What do you mean get to? Like, it's just, I just saw he was there and I said, well, hey, you know, like, I'm not too far away. I'm an hour away. I'll drive down and meet up with you, you know? And, you know, like, you're a guy that, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I remember the first time we met, I always knew who you were, but the first time we met was when we went out to dinner out in Indy a few years ago. And I loved you. I sat down next to you and I had more of a conversation with you than I did with the rest of the people that were sitting at the table that night, you know, and there was great people there, but it just, you were the one that just seemed the most interested in having a conversation with me. So I reciprocated that. And so that's what I'm saying is like, you know, that just everything you touched on is exactly it. You know, this is the thing, and the message I try to pass on everybody is, yeah, you know, not everything is applicable to your organization. Like, you know, I oftentimes joke, I always say, you know, I love Vinny Dunn. He's one of the smartest people in the world when it comes to building construction and building collapse. But I'm not going to ask Vinny to teach me a wildland firefighting class because he doesn't know anything about it. You know, so make sure it's applicable to you and what you have going on. But at the same token, open your Rolodex and call everybody and anybody. Don't be afraid to approach these people, you know, because firemen like to help firemen. It doesn't matter if you're Bobby Holton, if you're Rick Lasky, if you know, if you're John Solka, if you're Frank Viscuso. You know, firemen like to help firemen. Like you said about Paul Combs before, being generous enough to let you use his illustrations. Dude, Paul's the best. All right.
Oh yeah.
I've been teaching FDIC now for a few years, and before that, I was teaching just, you know, like I guess independently or whatever, at just different circuits and fire expo things that would be willing to have me. And I remember before, not that I'm anybody now, but I mean before I was literally known by anyone, you know, like before you would have ever reached out to me, before Bobby would have ever allowed me to do the things that I do, before anybody other than my own department knew who Dave McGlynn was. I reached out to Paul on Facebook, and I was putting together my first class, which is Passion in Leading. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know, big fan of what you do. Can I use a couple of your illustrations? And he messaged me back, like, honestly, within an hour. And he was like, absolutely, brother, that's what they're there for. You know, and then, you know, I still use his illustrations because that's what they're there for. Paul shares his gift. I mean, he's the type of guy that in his talent and his God-given craft – he's able to sum up what we think in one drawing, you know, you know, it's just, you know, like he you know, that's the thing. That's Paul networking with us, is he shares this gift with all of us and then says, yeah, use it, because that's what it's there for. He wants us to spread that message, you know, because that's what it's there for. That was what he was talking about, you know, and that's always been my thing about it, is just, you need to reach out to each other. You need to exchange information with each other. You need to talk to each other, especially in when you're trying to become a leader. There's always going to be somebody that's going to prepare you and give you advice. Just putting on rank or passing a promotional exam, like you said, doesn't necessarily make you a leader. Talk to every leader you could possibly talk to, because they're going to help prepare you to shape and develop into being really good at it. Otherwise, you're going to suck at it, and that's why people like you and I and Rick and everybody else can still write, like, you know, can still write books and articles about them because people can, you know, can sympathize with it.
Bad but true, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just rambled. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's all good, brother.
But so going into the pandemic, right? So we just beat the crap out of networking. But here's the thing is, right now, we're not really going to these fire conferences, which is unfortunate, where it was really nice, where, like you said, a guy could attend a class and the instructor would have his information. Like, I do the same thing. You know, I put my phone number and my email address up there on my last slide, and you stay in touch with people through social media, and you use all these different outlets and resources to have contact with people for their benefit. But right now, we're not physically meeting, so it does make it harder in theory to network and exchange ideas with people. So my question to you is, you know, what are some ways that people can network or mentor others during the pandemic, and why is it important that we continue to share information with each other?
Well, let me hit on a few of those things. You touched on social media. I mean, when I was growing up, obviously social media was non-existent, and, you know, you look at the ability there of, you know, the connections that we can make, even with people we don't even know. But then even with people we don't even know, like you said, you know, you reach out to someone randomly like Paul Combs, and next thing you know, it's like, you know, you get that connection. You know, I think the ease of how it's made it has been a godsend, especially during a pandemic, because I couldn't imagine going through the times we're going through right now, say 20 years ago, without the ability to do anything virtually and without the ability to do anything social media-wise, not to mention just text message. And I know there's some people that are probably listening going, life without, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, please don't take it that way, but there's people that might be listening that they've never not known. I mean, they've always had text messaging available. They've always had cell phones. They've always had social media, internet, whereas when I was growing up, I mean, it wasn't always that way. And so I think there's some benefits there. And there's also a lot of other ways too. I mean, I think there's a lot of things you can do, whether it's like text group stuff, or I'm fortunate to be involved with about a dozen other guys, you know, many names, some of the names I already mentioned as part of the Firehouse Kitchen Table. We're sort of like our own Slack group, you know, John Dixon, Andy Starnes, Ryan Pennington, Sean Egan, John Haywick, Mike Daly, you know, Jim Moss, Rob Fling, Dan Kerrigan, John Whiteley, you know, and a few others, you know, and we'll randomly throw things out there. Like, you know, we're all from, most of those guys are on the East Coast or Midwest, and I'm like one of the lone West Coast guys, which is not a big deal, because like to us out here, there's no such thing as basements. They're rare, but out in your part of the woods, there are basements. So it's great. Those guys will post pictures of calls they went on, or I'll post something. Hey, anyone ever see this before? And, you know, and that's just one form of it. I mean, we'll also, that's why I think the critical need or the critical component is branching out and not just relying on your own little circle. Have multiple circles, whether it's social media, Slack groups, like I mentioned there, or text string groups. And sometimes you don't have to wait for someone else to start it. Maybe you start it, you know, and hey, let's do this and everything else. And, you know, that was just a couple things, but I think it's critical in today's world just to keep our sanity, and especially with health and wellness being such a major issue, being able to reach out to people from wherever. I mean, whatever the issue is, like, hey, I'm having trouble with this, or I've never seen, you know, we had a call today that was whatever, I couldn't get that hole cut on the roof here. You guys, anyone ever have this problem before? Yeah, this is the problem. And I think that's the key, is we all get better when we try to find those avenues that are not just maybe our own group of people. And I hate the saying, get outside your box, but branch out and get those networks around the country. And some people may be willing to extend the olive branch, and, you know, some may not be able to because they're busy or whatever else, but there's enough people in the fire service. And I know it because for all the years I've had a website up, and, you know, most of the stuff I put on the website's free, and a lot of guys say I should charge for stuff, but it's not about charging for stuff. I mean, it's about getting information out there. Part of me thinks no one would pay for the stuff anyway, but it's like, here's the information, whether it's getting promoted, getting hired as a firefighter, or whatever stuff I can offer out there on my website. It's cool when I get a phone call or a text or an email from somebody randomly I've never met before and said, hey, I just got promoted to whatever position. You never met me before. We don't know each other, but I looked at your website. There was some cool stuff there. I watched all the stuff. That makes my day because, again, someone I never met, maybe I'll never even talk to them again, but if nothing else, a lot of times now they planted a seed and they're like, hey, can I reach out to you if I have any questions? I'm like, please do. I mean, now I'm a resource, just like you're a resource for me. And I think that's the critical thing of, you mentioned, and I'll say it again, you know, just reaching out to someone on social media like Paul Combs, next thing you know, there's someone that's part of your network now. So I think there's a lot of things we can do. And I think, you know, as much as there's times I know I should follow up more with certain people, but, you know, time, we're all busy, I get it. But, you know, you do your part and at least try to be respectful when others are reaching out to you, and I think you pay off dividends in the end as well.
Yeah, I amen. You couldn't have put that any better. You know, that's the thing, like, with me, just speaking for myself. So, like, with me, as I've gotten into it and as I've climbed into the positions and responsibilities that I've had, I would reach out to anybody. I'd talk to them after class. If I went to a class, I'd find their email address. I'd find them on social media and I'd message them, and whether they did or didn't get back to me, most of them did, which was nice. But
yeah,
you know, that's another thing is people need to understand that, be respectful or cognizant of, people still do have a life. So it's not that it's a personal snub on somebody. If somebody reaches out to you, and they don't, if you reach out to somebody and they don't get back in touch with you, in the time that you feel they need to, one, don't be afraid to ping them again, because life is happening for that person. That it's not that they're snubbing you. It's just that shit's going on and they might need a reminder of, hey, oh yeah, I forgot. I need to, you know, like even with me, with you, still to this day, I felt not worthy, you know, and I'm still appreciative of it. But if you remember, you asked me when we went out to lunch down in NFA to contribute to the book, and I was like, dude, awesome. Thank you so much for even thinking of me. And then it took me months to get it to you. I remember I actually texted you, and I was like, hey, don't think I forgot. I'm just overwhelmed right now. I really appreciate it. I don't want you to think that I'm being like disrespectful. You know, it's just because I have two small kids. You know that I have two small kids. I got my wife just up until 9 months ago, I was working at West Point. I was living in central Pennsylvania, driving all the way up to West Point, spending days, you know, throughout the week there, and then only coming home for a small amount of time, and trying to go to college full time online, and running my business, and trying to write for Fire Engineering, and doing the podcast, and teaching. That things became very overwhelming for me, that I was afraid to say no to opportunities. So I share that with people because I want people to understand, like, for the people you're going to reach out to, and I'm not going to sit there and make an excuse for all of them, because some people are assholes, and it just is what it is. But for the most part, especially in our business, I promise you that if you reach out to somebody and they didn't get back in touch with you in time, or they said, yeah, absolutely, I'll love to help you out, give me a week or so, and they didn't get back in touch with you, I promise that in my experience and just speaking for myself, nobody's purposely trying to snub anybody. There's a lot going on. All of us have professional lives and personal lives, and you also aren't the only person that might have reached out to them. So reach out to them again. Persistence is the key to success. It's not that they're snubbing you on purpose. It's just a lot's going on that you need to give them that reminder so they can stay on track and organized to help give you that nugget of information or whatever that you may need. But still, don't just give up. Don't say, well, I reached out to so-and-so and I didn't hear back from him, so it is what it is. No, hit them again.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I wrote something for Fire Engineering, I attended a class. Bobby was presenting Rick and John were doing a class. They were doing their fire alarm leadership. Bobby spoke, and then he was leaving. He's doing his hugs and kisses and handshakes and autographs. And I chased him. I literally lingered around and I followed him to the hotel so that he would know who I was. And I just wouldn't let him leave. He's like, oh, I got a plane to catch. Just send me an email. I said, negative. I said, I want you to know I want to write for your magazine. This is who I am. You know? So I'm telling you, persistence is the key to success. I promise. It really is, you know? And that's the thing about networking is reach out to these people. If they don't get back in touch with you, don't take it personal. Just hit them again. And if the person is just an ass and they just don't feel like helping you out, then fine. You know, if you tried a couple times and you still get no success, then trust me, there's other people out there. You know, look at your book, Steve. You know, there's 36 people or whatever in that book. Count and plus you. You know, I mean, there are plenty of us out there that you can reach out to and ask a question to and ping them a second time if you don't hear back from them. But the more important thing is don't use the pandemic as a crutch. That's another thing I notice in our fire service. You know, like me, I'm managing a training program, right? So right now, because, you know, especially me, I work for the federal government. You know, well, we can't socially gather. So training is like almost, you know, like it's almost it almost doesn't exist. It's almost non-existent right now in my fire station, which just, you know, anybody who knows me knows that I'm like going crazy right now because I'm like, you know, we're just sitting around. What are we doing? You know, but don't use the pandemic as a crutch to not reach out to somebody. Well, you know, I heard FDIC might be canceled, or I heard it got pushed back. So what? These people, you know, you have a website. Yeah. People have social media. You have social media. You know, people have emails. Who gives a crap? Two years ago, I wasn't driving out to California to meet up with you. You happened to be in Emmitsburg, and it was an hour drive, and I was off from West Point, and I said, I'm going to meet up with this guy for lunch, you know? But most of our relationship over the past three, four years that we've known each other is through the phone and through social media. We've met three times in the past 4 years, you know, and that's what I try to say to people is don't use the pandemic as a crutch to excuse why you don't want to talk to somebody. Gain the courage and reach out to them. Because before the pandemic, I was still talking to everybody through email and social media anyway. So it's important to network. It's important if you're a mentor, somebody is reaching out to you for a reason. I'm giving you the hall pass of you have a personal and professional life, but also take into consideration that somebody values the direction or guidance or opinion that you might have for them. So when you find that time, you know, don't use the pandemic as an excuse or whatever. Help these people because that's what it's all about. It's about sharing and exchanging this information. So you said it very eloquently before. I just put my jersey spin on, and I apologize.
Well, you I appreciate what you said, because I think that's the key, because one of the things I've learned throughout this process is patience and tolerance, and that we're all busy. I mean, I know I'm busy, and I hate it when people use excuse, because I think I try not to use that excuse either, but the point I'm trying to get to is that, you know, some people were very quick and eager. I had some people that said, Steve, I am overwhelmed right now because I got this going on, I got this going on, I get this going on. Check back in a year or so. I'm like, well, it's probably not going to be an opportunity, but I appreciate you being upfront about it. Thank you very much. I have some that I had to badger a couple times, and I hate bugging. And that's that borderline bugging and nagging people, because I don't want to be that pest of a person that's, you know, reaching out to somebody, whether it's to help me write the book or to ask a question or to do whatever, pick their brain for something. But given the information overload that we have today, I've learned over the years, there's things that land in my junk email folder. There's things even that land in my folder that I forgot about because the avalanche just pushed it down to the bottom. And if I don't make myself a reminder to follow up with someone, it's going to get forgotten. So your point that I'm going to tag on to is that if you do reach out to somebody and they don't get back to you, don't think they're blowing you off, because a lot of times the email may end up in junk mail, or it may just be buried, or they maybe planning on responding to it in a week or so. And that's why it's trying to find that balancing act. If you send someone an email, maybe just reaching out, if they don't respond back, maybe if you got their phone number, maybe a nice casual text, not bothering you, trying not to bug you. I just have a question, if you don't mind. If not, I'll tell me to pound salt, you know, whatever. And, you know, I think that's the key, is just realizing that sometimes you need to nudge people. I mean, I had a situation the other day, a fire department had reached out to me for a quote for a leadership class. So I shot the guy, the chief, an email back saying, hey, here's a quote for my class, and I hadn't heard back from him. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to be a pest, but it's like I want to make sure he thinks I'm not a flake here and forgotten about him. So I sent another email like a week later, and then it's that point of going, okay, now it's been about 10 days. So at that point, I'm like, I mean, I know people say, well, you should have followed him up with a phone call. And hey, there's time and a place that I will do that. It's just sometimes people just prefer email. But again, different mechanisms of communication. But anyway, about 10 days in, I text the chief and I said, hey, I'm sorry, but I just want you to know that I'm not being a flake. I actually responded to your email. So if you don't need my assistance or don't want the quote, that's fine. Just let me know and I won't bother you. But if you didn't get it, maybe check your junk or spam. And this chief actually goes, holy crap, he goes, I don't check my junk and spam. I just found both of your messages in there. He goes, I was wondering why the hell you hadn't responded back to me. And he goes, I was starting to, and I'm like, And then here I am trying not to bug him, and he's probably thinking I'm whatever, but not that I'm trying to think about others' perceptions, but the point is sometimes you got to find different ways to communicate and don't always rely on one way. And don't be surprised if someone, maybe even if you left a voicemail for somebody, it sounded good on your end when you were talking, but I've had many voicemails left for me that were garbled or cut off because of their location. Then I'm like going, well, it was a blocked number, and I have no clue who they are, so I can't even call them back, and it sucks. And then, of course, they never call back thinking I'm flaking on them. So it's an interesting time in the world we live in, and communication makes things very good and user-friendly, but can also come with its challenges too. But I think persistence, patience, tolerance, and respect are key. But you know what? Another key thing I've learned is you'd be amazed at the amount of people that I expected some people to not even respond or get back to me, and you know what? Hey, they did. And it's like, well, hell, what's the worst they could do? Say no? No. They said yes, so perfect. And if they said no, I would be respectful of that too. So, you know, I think it's key, because again, the whole thing about teamwork is there is no, you know, I in team. It's a team. You know, just because you are maybe in a leadership position, say as a company officer, chief officer, just because you are that boss, that rank, that supervisor, whoever it is, you get the job done through teamwork. And I think that's why networking and mentoring is critical, to build that team and have that cohesive team to solve whatever problems you have in front of you, because not any one of us, myself included, have all the answers to anything.
Yes. And that's why you use your Rolodex, et cetera. one last thing on this before we go into the last question, but, you know, that's I'm plugging fire engineering, not because I'm being a, as we would say in Jersey, a flugazi, because I know a lot of the people that we get that we, you know, that are friends of ours, but also that, you know, a lot of them overplug things, you know, like that's going to help them get like a merit badge or something, like they're into Boy Scouts. Like, right. If I say Bobby Halton's name enough, maybe I'll get a good Samaritan badge. Like, no, but with this outlet, like what we're doing now, you know, with the podcast. You know, this is where the team that runs everything at Fire Engineering, you know, and Bobby and all them, like, they're very progressive in this, you know, this spreading and sharing, spreading a message, sharing information, taking advantage of the option of the technology. You know, like today, I didn't realize how many people listen to podcasts. You know, they'd reached out to me and gave me the opportunity to do the show. I thought, well, all right, whatever, you know. I had pitched the idea of the networking with people to Bobby a long time ago to do an audio book or something on it, and then they wanted to take it in this direction with the podcast, which I think is even better because – like tonight we're live, you know, don't have enough time for me to give the phone number again to have somebody call in, but there's that opportunity for somebody to call in and ask you a question. But also a lot of people listen to podcasts nowadays. I didn't realize that. It's no offense. I'm more of an old school person for being, you know, the age that I am. But a lot of people do. A lot of people listen to it in their car ride or while they're working out. A lot of people listen to the podcasts and these things, if fire engineering is smart, you know, not only do they put it on their website, but they also they have it on iTunes. They have it on iHeartRadio, you know. So just what we're doing right now, having this conversation, this is another thing. There's information out there. You know, there are people who have gone through the same thing as you, or there are people that, you know, you didn't know had a certain level of expertise or information that you could benefit from. You're going through the podcast and you hear like yourself talking, oh, I got to reach out to this guy, you know? So like, that's the thing is like the information's out there. Just get it, you know, don't be afraid to find the information because I'm telling you just in your town or your city or your, you know, military base, if you're working for the federal government, whatever it is, I promise you that that's not good enough. You know? Yeah, it's good because you know your mission, but I promise in our business, anything you can learn from anybody is good information. I'm telling you. And it's all out there. You know, a lot of us are very humble enough to just be honored to share the information with at no cost. Just say, I'm honored that you thought of me. You know, and that's the thing is like, just don't be afraid to reach out to these people, network with people, exchange ideas. And also, you know, somebody's going to want information from you one day, you know, like you might be seeking information from them today, but tomorrow they might say, hey, you know, where you work, you do this. Can you tell me about that? You know what I mean? So it's just an ever reciprocating thing. No, you know, people don't realize how simple it is because we allow our egos to take over the big picture. And that's why I always talk about it. It's like, set your friggin' ego aside, man. I promise there's a shit ton of knowledge out there if you're just willing to be humble.
Well, and that's, if I can jump.
Go ahead, brother.
Thank you. I was going to say the one thing that I'm glad I got exposed to early on in my career is to get out there and expose yourself. Again, starting the fire service before the internet, you know, and everything was pretty much print format, like fire engineering was print format. FDIC was, the conference out there. And, you know, maybe you don't know what you don't know. And that's the part that amazes me around the country. And it doesn't matter if it's a big department, small department, rural, big city, so many people, and probably a good chunk of much of the department of much of most departments are just so localized that they're 8 to 8 out the gate mentality of like, you know what, if it doesn't happen within the four walls of this, you know, our jurisdictional boundaries, I really don't care about it, whether it's reading fire engineering or going to FDIC or reading whatever book or going to the National Fire Academy. And I, like I said, I'm fortunate to have had mentors over the years that inspired me and, you know, and it really, and again, once you get to a place, like the first time you get to say FDIC and realize, holy moly, I never knew what I didn't know. Meaning, look at what I'm exposed to. I mean, more classes than you have time to attend. I mean, and it's tough. More people than you have time to connect with as much as you want to connect. That week goes by quick. You know, and you look at But once you get there, the friendships you can make, the connections you can make, the fun you can have, the knowledge you can obtain, and that's just one exposure. I mean, obviously there's, you know, you may have local things that happen around you, maybe like your state firefighters conference or like even the National Fire Academy that you mentioned when I was out there. I mean, there's still some people this day that, why would I go to the National Fire Academy? I'm just a firefighter. And it's like, take away that attitude. There's classes there for every rank. And it's amazing whether you're at FDIC or wherever else, sitting around having a beer, eating dinner or grabbing coffee. It's amazing how, I don't care what the patch or uniform or the badge says, we all got the same issues. You think your issues are local to your department and or your type of department? Nap. We got the same issues. I mean, I had a fire chief the other day reach out from across the country talking about some personnel issues he was having. And he's like, Steve, you know, is that unheard of? And I'm thinking to myself, no, you're hitting the nail on the head. I think that a problem that I'm hearing all the time. Your problem is you're holding people accountable. And if you didn't hold people accountable, they wouldn't think you're the other A word. You know, and I jokingly say that, but it's like, that's a problem across the country. You know, for some people, they don't want to be held accountable. But again, the benefits we can obtain from doing stuff like networking and mentoring are just tremendous. And that's why I try to tap as many people as possible of encouraging them. It's like, hey, just here, read fire insuring, or hey, just go to FDIC. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, I can't afford it. It's expensive. Our department doesn't have training budgets. Correct. But occasionally you'll find scholarships that are out there, or put in to submit for teaching at a class, you know? And again, it took me 5 years of submitting for FDIC. I think I started in 2004 and it was finally like 2009. I was finally accepted after submitting every year. And you know what? I didn't give up. That's the key is, you know, I kept coming and asking Diane and asking Bobby and, you know, what do I need to do? And it's like, well, you need more experience underneath your belt, you know, keep working on your craft. We don't want brand new, you know, presenters, so to speak, that have zero experience because you're on a big stage here, so to speak. And it's like, okay. And the sad part is a lot of people would just give up at that point. You know, like, I'm not going to go through that much effort. It ain't worth it. No, I realized it was worth it to do that. And that's why I just kept building up my resume, getting credibility, doing what I thought was right to hopefully at least get that opportunity to get a shot at least presenting a class. And then, you know, usually like anything else in life, if you do a decent job and don't get booed off the stage or get things thrown at you, hopefully they'll offer you back and then offer you again. And I don't take it for granted every year that I get to come back. I still submit and I still make sure my proposals are professional as possible. And again, I cross my fingers. And when I get that email, you always look at the email and go, oh, you know, and I just still get ecstatic when I see that I'm accepted to be an instructor at FDIC. Cause again, I don't take anything for granted. And I think that's that key for all of us to realize, as we move forward, we have to be students of the craft, students of the trade, continuously learning, continuously exposing ourselves to things, because there will be that point at one point where someone reaches out to you or I need to pick up a phone and say, you know what, I got this issue going on. I don't know how to figure it out. And you know what, you throw maybe a standard group email out or text and maybe only a couple people respond, but you know what? Those nuggets that they responded with may be something that, boom, I never thought about that. Thank you very much. I was off in left field. You helped bring me back. Thank you. So we can't live in a vacuum, and leadership really to me is a teamwork effort. So we live and die by ourselves, but obviously we can be a good part of a team because that's how we get the job done ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that you shared the story about you know, how you got to FDIC and how excited you are still, you know, I mean, you've been published by them and you've been published in other avenues and other magazines, the competitors. I'm not going to drop their name just because I don't want to get anybody upset from fire engineering.
Right.
But you know, I love that even a guy like you, you know, here you're a guy that I feel is very well established, very well recognized and credible in our business. And even you, you know, get excited because, to me, you know, same thing, man. Like, I never got to go to FDIC because I couldn't afford it. And I'm not trying to say that to speak ill because there are avenues and there are opportunities available out there, like you said, the scholarships and all that. And you know I share the hell out of that on my social media because once you get there, your only critique about FDIC at the end of the week was there wasn't enough time to see everything you wanted to see because it was only 1 week, truly. You know, and I know there's other ones out there and they're all good, but that one is the Super Bowl. It really is. You know, I mean, what we have the last time we did it, 40,000 people or something like that in attendance.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like that's nuts, man. You know, that's like a college football game. You know, it's crazy. You know, so we, you know, to me, I always feel very not worthy of it and all that. But I like what you said, because that's the thing is for these people, you know, one, try to get there regardless. But two,
yeah,
everybody has some kind of expertise. However, I caution you, and you and I have had this conversation both personally and offline, on the phone or whatever. But also, don't just put something together because it's sexy and attractive. You know, buzzwords are buzzwords. You know, you can quote great leaders all day long. It doesn't mean that they're your quote. You know, be relevant. Be true to yourself, and have something. Not, it doesn't have to be different than everybody else's, but it's unique because it's yours. You know, Ryan
yes.
has the hoarder thing because that's his. You know, I have the networking and training program development thing because that's mine. You know, I used to submit for FDIC all the time, submitting passion and leading, and still to this day, it's never been picked up. You know, and Bobby and Diane, and they all know about the class. They all know it's the name of my business, but because how many people are out there doing that? You know what I mean? But how many people are out there doing a training officer development class? At the training
yeah.
officer conference, the fire department instructors conference, nobody's teaching about training officer development, you know? So it's like, that's my niche. That's my job. That's what I do. You know, I talk about networking. I talk about training officer development. You know, I talk about all that. And that's why I'm fortunate to be able to get out there. So that's what I'm saying is, one, don't get discouraged because you didn't get it the first time or you didn't get to go out there. Now, I'm not even talking about teaching. Try to get out there, first of all. But even if you can't, my first opportunity to get to FDIC was because I was invited as an instructor. You know, don't just do something that seems sexy or relevant because it's the buzzword or because Rick Lasky wrote about this, so that means now you
right.
can. Like, no, you can't. If you got 10 years experience and some fire department nobody ever heard of, you're not on Rick Lasky's level. I'm sorry. You know, like I love that you know you think the guy's a mentor. That's great. So do I. But you're not on his level. So don't try to teach his class. You know, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't teach a class. I guarantee there's something that you can bring to the table. And Bobby is always trying to bring every different type of class to his conference because that's what separates his conference from everybody else's. Is
yep.
he doesn't just offer yep. one thing. He offers a menu of everything. He wants our conference to be diverse because at the end of the day, firefighting is a jack of all trade business. If your basement's flooded, they call us. They don't call a plumber. They call the fire department. So if you're a guy that's pumped out 75 basements in your fire department, you could probably put a class together on that. I promise.
Yeah.
And people will show up because we have to go. You know, at the end of the
yeah.
day, they call, we go. No, but
how
the last question, because No, I know. I mean, we could go on about that forever. No, but last question, because we're past the hour, so I'm not going to hold you up. But I ask this of every person that I've ever had on the show, and it's because it's very important to me. Legacies are important because I feel like it's not an arrogance thing. It's not a narcissism thing. It's not an ego thing. It's your purpose, you know, like, you know, you, I've heard you say many times, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, leave it better than you found it. Right. So that kind of is a legacy. So legacies are important because a lot of the things that we do, the impact that we have, we really don't get to actually see happen in front of us. You know, I remember years ago, I was sitting with Lasky at a conference and I was just telling him about the frustrations I was having with the things I was trying to do. This is while I was a captain. And and I just, you know, I couldn't get past the culture. I got the firemen bought in and I got the other captains bought in, but I can't get the chiefs to be bought in on and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, Lasky, the good advice that he gave me was he said, you know, listen, Abraham Lincoln didn't get to see the fruit of his labor and what he fought for as the president. And it was very unpopular what he fought for. But it didn't make him stop doing it. You know, he achieved his goal after he died. So sometimes we're not able to, I guess, enjoy what we put into it, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. So, you know, the point of a legacy is, it's the what you want to leave behind. So I ask you, what type of legacy do you want to leave behind?
Well, and you've sort of touched on that, and it's And like I've mentioned previously, I was very fortunate to have a lot of great mentors over the years, and even before I got on the job, you know, when I was taking some classes at the local community college, Chabot College, where I still teach at, you know, I was very inspired by a lot of the firefighters. They're all local firefighters around the Bay Area here. And there was guys that had been on the job for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, retired guys. And I remember I just, for whatever reason, wanted to be that person that would hopefully be on my deathbed, God forbid, whenever that is, looking back that, you know, yeah, I left it better than I found it, but hopefully I did what I could to always do the right thing. And I'm not perfect by any means, but learn from my mistakes. And really, I don't know, I like to tell people I have a passion for people, them get hired, to help them stay hired, because getting hired is one thing, staying hired is another thing, because some people do stupid things to get themselves out of a job. And I also have a passion for helping people get promoted as well as stay promoted, and then ultimately, hopefully, enjoy a nice long retirement after that, but while also being the best they can be. So that's that fortunate part, that I didn't want to have just the niche of, you know, teaching entry-level stuff, but I mean, I enjoy helping people, whether it's getting hired, helping people get promoted, but to ultimately just being the best they can be. And again, those getting those occasional emails or reach outs from people that I've never met, I mean, that's when I know that I'm very fortunate to do what I'm able to do. When people say, hey, thank you for doing this, I sat in your class, or maybe I read a book or read an article, or I saw something on the internet, or I listened to one of your YouTube videos, and you helped me get through this, whether it's maybe a tough time at work, tough time at home, maybe it's, yeah, maybe help them get hired or promoted, but also maybe get through a tough personnel issue or a challenging issue with their boss. And again, I don't have all the answers. None of us does. But the key is, if nothing else, realizing that you don't have all the answers and learning as much as you can from others. So when you get in that position, you know, hopefully hopefully on my deathbed, I can at least look back and say, you know what, I wasn't retired in place from day one, just collecting a paycheck 8 to 8 out the gate. I was at least doing something good, whether it was locally in my own department or something regionally or even nationally, like I'm fortunate to do, or even internationally. And you know what, if I can make a positive difference and help someone get through whatever they're getting through or need to get through in life, you know, that's what it's all about. Because if each one of us did something like that, it'd be amazing how better off all of us in the entire world would be versus someone that's just negative and doesn't want to give anything of their time to anybody for whatever reason. I mean, thankfully, the fire service doesn't have a lot of those people, but fire service does have a lot of people that are just, you know, they do the bare minimum. They'll come to work, they do their job, they don't get in trouble, but
they survive. They survive. They make it through it, and then that's their only contribution. I agree. And there's also people that do what we do that really don't actually give back what they can be given back. You know, but yeah, you know, I you're 100% right, man. I love that legacy. That's nice. Not cutting you off. You can continue. I need to jump in just because you're getting me inspired right now. Just sitting here listening to you. You know, that is it. You know, just you know, trying to pay it forward. I hate saying that because it's such a cliche thing and so many people overuse, but in essence, I mean, that's really at the end of the day what we're doing. We're, you know, it's, you know, you leave it better than you found it. Yeah, you know, you pay it forward. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, that is what we're doing. We're trying to continue, reciprocate, and develop what we love so much so when we leave it, it continues.
You know, you look at some of the fire service icons, you're like Alan Bernasini, God rest his soul, who passed away a few years ago. You look at some of the stuff that he's left, and I'm not comparing myself to him by any means. It's just, you look at the legacy that man loved. I mean, not everyone was always a fan. Every now and then I'll hear someone that I'll actually be negative against some of his stuff, which is sort of interesting, but hey, that's their right to their opinion. But you just take a look at the 50,000 foot view of the different things that he did. And again, he was just one person. And I mean, we've all mentioned and thrown out names throughout this podcast of all other fire service greats. And it's not just the fire service, there's other people. But I think, you know, the more we can hopefully do our part to help motivate, inspire people, encourage people, and just let them know there's resources out there for anyone everywhere. I think we've done our job. I can't force someone to give me a call or reach out, but I'll be more than happy to extend the olive branch and have a smile on my face and say, hey, if I can't talk right now, I'll let you know. But you know what? Can you give me a day, or can you give me an hour or so, or can I call you tonight after work or whatever else? And you know what? That's what makes it all worthwhile is, you know, you may never meet someone else again, but you know what? You know, you did something at least for the betterment of.
And it's interesting, you know, to say about Bruno, you know, the thing with Bruno is that he's a pioneer in our business because none of us were doing what he was doing years back. And I don't mean writing curriculum or anything like that. So like, I'm not saying I understand why, but in this business, everybody does something different. You're going to do something different in Santa Clara County than I'm going to do working for the Army, right? But you know, Bruno, yeah, tactically, operationally, if there's critics of his, it's because Bruno knew Phoenix and Arizona. So what he was putting out tactically and operationally, you might disagree with because it's different than what you're used to. But when he talked about customer service and Mrs. Smith and organizational leadership and how to mentor and how to inspire and that the general public was our customer and the customer was first. He was a pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us were sharing that message nationally. Bruno did. You know, so you know, it's always interesting to me when I hear somebody try to tarnish Bruno's legacy also, because it's like, if you want to disagree with the guy tactically, I'm not going to sit there and defend him because everybody's different. Everybody does stuff different. There's things tactically that I remember, you know, because I was fortunate, even though I'm young, to have met Bruno and listened to him speak and all that and read things that he wrote. And there's things that I even disagreed with that were tactical. I remember, you know, he was taking the packs out of the jump seats and putting them in the compartment doors. And I thought, that guy's nuts, you know, but you look at the history of Bruno, you know, the over 50 years of him sharing information, networking, spreading the message, building and developing leaders, inspiring people, letting us know at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about Mrs. Smith. You know, these were things nobody told us to do before. Bruno's a pioneer, you know, so that's why he's still important. That's why we still talk about him. That's the legacy Bruno left behind, you know, not about his tactical or operational experience, which he obviously had some. He was in a busy city. It's just about the message he was able to give, you know, and that's oftentimes where we bastardize the process of who we reach out to for, you know, or what we reach out to them for. Like I said before, nothing against Vinny Dunn. Vinny Dunn's a god in our business, but I'm not going to ask Vinny to do a wildland brush fire class for my team where I work, where we have a wildland mission, because that's not Vinny's thing. I'll ask Vinny to come and do a building construction or ridge beam or building collapse class all day long because nobody's seen more of that than him. You know, so like that's the thing is like the legacy you leave behind, you know, is what you're able to do. You know, and you know, Bruno's a great person to talk about. And you're obviously, you know, what you're doing. You're already leaving the legacy and you're still doing it. You know, look at all the information in four books. You know, look at your latest book. Look at all the information that you're sharing with people. This isn't a profit for you and everybody. And I'm not knocking the process. You know, I haven't been published yet, but I know, you know, just being friends with people like you, there's no money in the book. It's not like you wrote a book, you know, like your New York Times bestseller and there's money in the book. There's no money in the book. You're writing the book to share a message. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. It's not like the most lucrative thing. You just made $1 million because Fire Engineering published a book for you. I can promise you're never going to see $1 million from your book sales, you know, because that's how it goes. When we're firemen, you know, we're not one of those people that writes a cookbook or something from Jersey Housewives and now we're a millionaire, you know, but anyway, I'll give you a final word. You hit the nail on the head, but if you have anything else you want to share or say before we end it, you know, floor is yours, brother.
Well, no, I think, like I mentioned at the beginning, I definitely thank you for your friendship, your brotherhood, and your being a mentor as well for me too. Your contribution was awesome, as well as obviously everybody else. I definitely obviously want to thank Bobby Halton, Diane Feldman Rothschild, everybody else at Fire Engineering, FDIC, as well as the Fire Engineering Books and Videos teams that I've worked closely with, Chris Barton and crew. It's been an exciting experience. It's been an exciting ride. I mean, like I said, I'm just happy every day to wake up on the right side of the dirt. And I think one of the biggest lessons I learned over the years was that we don't, my wife still shares this, we don't get a second chance for first impression, which is true, but life's not a dress rehearsal, which is her concept. And if I can provide one inspiring comment maybe for anyone listening is that don't wait until you're halfway through your career or you're retired to start doing something. Because I know there's a lot of people that, well, you know, you got to have 25 years on the job before you can talk about this stuff, or you got to be a recognized expert. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but here's the point is you got to get some experience, even if it's just starting out, helping mentor others, even if it's just at your firehouse, whether it's teaching classes, learning from others, networking with others. Your career goes fast. I mean, I'm going on over, I think, 26 years in the Santa Clara County Fire, 30 years in the fire service. It goes by fast. I don't want it to end, but I know life works that way. But the point is, we all have something to share, and the more we can start doing our part, the sooner a career, the better. Don't think you have to work for FDNY, the biggest, you know, big department like there, and see fire all the time to be an expert in something. You know, I'm not going to talk about firefighting because that's not a major part of what we do, but there's other things I'm passionate about. So I think if we all do our part, the fire service can be such a better place, not to mention the world. But like I said, I do thank everyone within fire engineering as well for the opportunity, and yourself. And hell, we could talk for days. And hopefully get a chance to maybe do a part two or something else, just because, like I said, we talk about
it.
A lot of the same.
We absolutely will, because this has been really good, man. I love it. It's all good stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you for being on the show. Guys, check out Steve's book, 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam. It's available right now in Fire Engineering Books and Videos. Is the 101 Tips still a promotional code for it to get the discount, or is that not flying anymore?
As far as I know, I wasn't given a time limit on it. So I wasn't given a time limit on using tips uppercase. So if anyone has a problem, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll see what I can do for you. But hopefully that's still in existence. But again, I also want to thank everyone for the gift of their time. Anyone that's listening now or in the future in the podcast, I do appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. And guys, you know, as always, I appreciate everything. The listeners, if you're listening to this live, it will be available on iTunes and iHeartRadio probably over the weekend, if not by Monday. Well, actually, it's federal holiday Monday, so by Tuesday. Steve, thank you so much for joining me. And again, guys, check out his book, 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam on Fire Engineering Books and Videos. This has been Dave McGlynn. God bless. Stay safe. Thank you so much to everyone. And this has been Dave McGlynn with Networking for Success on Fire Engineering Podcast. You guys stay safe. Good night.
Thanks for tuning into Fire Engineering Talk Radio.